Michigan legislators wrapped up business for the year, and we're going to look at some of what they did and what they did not do. Joining me are Michigan Public Radio Network's Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta and Michigan Radio's own political junkie Zoe Clark, otherwise known as the dynamic duo of It's Just Politics. So, in the accomplished column,
your check's in the mail.
A Rhodes Plan. Republican triumphantly hailed it. Democrat says this doesn't do much now and will cause state budget problems later. Rick, what's your take?
Well, actually, I would put the Rhodes Plan into sort of a larger narrative of how Rick Snyder struggled through the first year of his second term. The best day of a governor's second term under term limits is Inauguration Day, because, you know, after that, the going just gets, you know, rougher and rougher and rougher. And so the governor came in hoping to get a Rhodes deal wrapped up pretty quickly. And in fact, it took almost until, you know, the end of the year, including one ballot proposal flame out along the way.
I do want to move on to the legislative story that got more attention. Zoe, a scandal that saw one legislator ousted, the other resigned just before the same fate. Now, let me just say, I don't want to spend any more time on this sordid little story than absolutely necessary.
Fine by me.
So what happened?
Right. This was Corser and Gamera, two uber conservative Tea Party Republicans, both came to office this year. We were all ready to watch them, thinking that they would give the governor and fellow Republicans heartburn, but not for the reasons that it ended up being. Really, as you say, the headlines became, an affair that the two of them had, but really more, as always is, the cover-up. And the fact that it looked like they were using tax dollars for things that they were not meant to use tax dollars for, which include political doings. So September came, there were hearings, and eventually what ended up happening is Representative Cindy Gamera got expelled and Representative Todd Corser ended up resigning. And it took up a lot of time, a lot of momentum, because all the focus in Lansing was on these two.
First of all, the expulsion itself was not deftly handled, that this is something that needs to be swift, fierce, and surgical. And it was none of those things. In part because, on an individual basis, the things that Corser and Gamrat were expelled for are things that actually happen in the Capitol and
all
in the House
time.
Office building all the time. And really, what they were expelled for was being kind of a pain and being the face of the Tea Party in the legislature and being recalcitrant in terms of what the Republicans were actually trying to accomplish.
Now, former Senate leader and Republican Ken Sikkema called it a failure of government to protect the population. The state has either been poorly informed, in denial, or actually hiding what agencies knew about the lead exposure in children because of contaminated water in Flint. I'm wondering if the legislature will be holding any investigative hearings into this next year.
We are not seeing any evidence of that yet, but this is a story that is not going to go away, that the interests involved in this are not going to let it go away, that no one denies that there was a profound failure of government in this instance. And then that failure was followed up by what seemed to be efforts to hide, mitigate what actually occurred in Flint. And the questions about that are not going to go away.
I think it'll be interesting to watch the governor's State of the State address come January. It's hard for me to believe that there won't either be additional money for more lead testing throughout the state. This is a huge, huge issue in Flint, but there are other cities, industrial cities, that have the same kind of pipes.
We covered that last year.
Well, and remember, it's not just the pipes, that actually that old houses and lead paint are actually a bigger threat to children than what's in the water.
Back to things the legislature did and didn't do. This morning on Michigan Radio, I heard a big solar energy installation is planned by DTE. 150,000 solar panels spread over about 300 acres in Lapeer County. This comes as the legislature had planned to rewrite the energy policy for the state by the end of this year. It did not. Mm-hmm. Zoe, what's next?
That it gets pushed into 2016, along with the other big issue that we thought we were absolutely going to be talking about, which was reforming of the Detroit public schools. So those are two of the really big issues that come 2016 we will be keeping an eye on also.
Yeah, that's 40,000 students in the Detroit public schools. They are not getting the kind of support they need for a decent education. There are too few kids and too many schools, and nobody's benefiting from any of that. And we're not seeing anything out of Lansing.
Well,
a proposal by the governor, yes to split the district.
Who says that the big issue is one of the things that's keeping those resources is a mountain of debt that the Detroit schools are facing. And so taking a page from the auto company restructuring, he said we're going to create sort of a good DPS and a bad DPS. Mm-hmm. And the new DPS will educate the kids with bumped up support from Lansing. And the old DPS will collect taxes and assume the debt. And so far, it is something that everyone has found something to intensely dislike in it, which has really slowed down the process.
And let's remember, too, speaking of emergency managers, one of the things that folks in Detroit will say is, hey, state, we hear you want to fix some things, but guess what? You've been in control of the Detroit Public Schools for 6 years with an emergency manager, and now you want us to trust you with more takeovers and more power of our school districts? And so that's one of the pushbacks that you're hearing.
One of the things that Dan Varner at Excellent Schools Detroit told me is that the state's going to be responsible for that debt ultimately anyway.
Yeah.
Why not
why
not handle it now or get a plan in place now instead of just
that? And that's exactly
that is the governor's argument.
Right.
The governor's argument is exactly that, that if this goes to court, that if you think the debt is bad now,
just wait.
Wait till the state assumes this obligation and the state taxpayers have to pay off those obligations. It's going to be all of that plus interest plus legal costs.
Let's talk about pressing pause on Syrian immigrants.
Syrian refugees, this is something that in this latter part of the year, the governor really stepped in. After the attacks in Paris and Beirut and Egypt, the governor was the first governor, Republican governor, to come out. He said he wanted to put a pause on bringing Syrian refugees and other refugees from the Middle East to Michigan. This is coming from the governor who likes to call himself the most pro-immigration governor in the whole entire country. The problem was he did not foresee that there would be a lot of other Republican governors coming out and presidential candidates calling for just closing borders and not just a pause. And the governor got lumped into that, and it took weeks. And I would argue is still trying to get out from underneath that statement.
A bill to end straight party voting and, as I understand it, in voter information dissemination by schools and libraries has been sent to the governor. Is he going to sign that?
These are two different bills that you're talking about. One is an end to straight party voting, which Republicans have wanted for years. But also, you know, in the last election cycle, Democrats swept nearly the bottom of the partisan ballot education board races. And a lot of the reasons for that seems to be because of this option to vote the entire partisan ballot with one mark on the ballot. You know, quick, easy, and you're all done. But it's been given an added sense of urgency as a lot of Republicans are concerned that the possibility of having Donald Trump at the top of the Republican ballot is becoming a less remote possibility. And so they also want to eliminate the possibility of people coming in and just saying, you know what, Trump on the ballot, I'm just voting with the Democrats. The other bill that you're talking about was actually an omnibus campaign finance bill. And on the last night of the legislature's session, it miraculously erupted from being a 14-page bill to being a 52-page bill. And instead of some sort of innocuous changes to reporting requirements, it was things like it says school officials can't talk about millage elections in the weeks before the election before the election occurs. There are actual First Amendment implications there, not to mention just all kinds of things that would delay reporting requirements so that we don't know who's donated to campaigns, you know, before the elections actually occur. There's a lot going on in that bill, and we're still examining the implications of it. The governor typically on the governor says that when it actually arrives on its desk, on his desk, he will give it careful consideration. What's typically happened in these instances when the legislature has sent him these very partisan measures is he sort of claimed to be agnostic on them, but says if that's what the legislature wants, then as governor, he ought to give it to them.
And finally, I saw in the Lansing State Journal that political cowardice tops readers' favorite quotes of the year. That's a quote from Democrat Senator Curtis Hertel Jr. in reference to tacking on an amendment to include spending on a bill so that voters could not overturn it in the future. Is that your top quote, Rick, or would you choose another one?
Rick was on the LSJ website just clicking over and over again on that one. Only one vote, man. One vote.
I saw so many Todd Corser quotes that I think might beat that in the year, but maybe
I think inoculate the herd has to be the quote of the year. Zoe and I have talked about this so many times. The practice that's become fairly common in this legislature of rendering controversial laws immune to referendums by putting appropriations in them. They cannot be attacked in court because that would also be an attack on the full faith and credit of the...
I don't hear a voter outcry about this.
Oh, I think there's voter outcry about it. We'll say, I think the fact that political cowardice was the number one point, no matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about roads, whether you're talking about things getting done or not, I think that's the overall sense of how people look at government today, with frustration and anger and political cowardice.
That's Zoe Clark. That's Michigan Radio's own political junkie, along with Rick Pluta, Michigan Public Radio Network's Capital Bureau Chief. You can hear them on Mondays on It's Just Politics. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Lester.
You bet.